How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. We are live on Sports Byline USA every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, talking wrestling, mixed martial arts, all of the biggest promotions in the world, and a lot of stuff to talk about today, including the TNA pay-per-view, Impact Wrestling. They've changed their name. Actually, they've changed their name everywhere except on the website, in the promotional materials, on the television show. But it's name change. We'll talk about that. They got a pay-per-view this afternoon. Starts immediately after the show goes off the air. We're going to talk about all of the matches. A lot of news from TNA. A lot of news on the name changes and different things that they're doing in their rebranding campaign. We're going to talk about that on the program today. Plus, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts. Brock Lesnar is out of the UFC event in Vancouver. We'll talk about what happened there. How Paul Heyman is involved. Also talk about some interesting excerpts from Brock Lesnar's book, both about his MMA and his pro wrestling career. That is coming up. A lot of international news. New Japan Pro Wrestling is in America. They are going to be crowning a new Intercontinental Champion. That's coming up later on this afternoon, actually. We might have some results by the time we go off the air here today. But we shall see. Also, WWE in Mexico for a very successful tour. They're going to be taping TV from down in Mexico coming up October 15th and 16th. We'll tell you about that. Also, injuries. John Morrison is hurt. Besides Brock Lesnar, we've got other guys pulling out of UFC events. The Frankie Edgar Gray Maynard fight is off. We'll talk about the new card for UFC in Vegas. We'll talk about China heading to TNA. What does that mean? She's on the pay-per-view this afternoon. Is the planned match actually going to take place? Also talk about Chael Sonnen, Tough Enough, Jeff Lacey, and Nick Diaz. UFC and the newest bonus they have for folks on social media, the new card for May in Vegas, and Bones Jones not getting surgery, plus UFC insurance. There's so much to talk about. Couldn't even get through it all in this preview, as happens virtually every week. We'll be back in just a moment to kick it all off. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. For those of you listening to this online or on your iPhone, iPad, or whatever the case might be, if you can't find us on Sirius, we have moved to Sirius Channel 92. So for those that have been catching us first on Channel 122 and then on Channel 125, we're now on Channel 92. So every Sunday, check us out there. And Mike, how you doing today?
No complaints, Brian, at all, except for the fact that immediately after this show, I'm going to be watching TNA Sacrifice.
You're
going
to get the show.
I think I am. I don't know why I feel like giving them money, but I think I'm going to do it. I'm that intrigued by China.
You are buying the show just for China.
Absolutely not. And you know what? No one else is either.
Now, were you being sarcastic? You're not going to buy the show?
I'm not going to buy this show. I'm going to let you and Dave buy this show and then follow along on the results on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com.
I see. You had me going there for a while. What can I say?
I cannot do it. I just cannot.
Well, there's a card we got to go down, so we'll see what other individuals listening to this right now are not going to buy the show or are based on the lineup here. Of course, the first thing we should talk about is they have changed the name. Somewhat. The name of the organization, I guess, is now Impact Wrestling. If you go to Wikipedia, which we always go to here on this website because it's so much fun, and you Google Impact Wrestling or you look up Impact Wrestling on Wikipedia, there's now a fancy new page that talks all about Impact Wrestling and what it is and commentators and that sort of thing. And, yeah, there's a theme song listed here, everything like that. Multi-camera setup created by Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, and Dutch Mantel. I don't really know what to make of all this, except that if I go to ImpactWrestling.com, it just takes me to TNA Wrestling. And, you know, everywhere I look, I see TNA Wrestling. Apparently, this comes as no shock to anybody, they can't decide if they want to change the name or not. They can't decide if they want to get rid of TNA. So I guess the show is now Impact Wrestling. Some people are going to refer to it solely as Impact Wrestling. Others are going to use the TNA initials. Really, as we mentioned in the last couple of weeks, it doesn't matter one single bit. It is not going to make a single bit of difference, but this is part of their new rebranding. I guess their new rebranding, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, they've kind of bastardized the whole rebranding thing, because usually with rebranding, or actually every time with it, there's a plan and there's sweeping change. That's why it's a rebranding. This is just, I don't know what this is. Yeah, you know, if they had a plan to do something like they were going to do some racier stuff, so they're still going to keep the TNA name, but, you know, what you're going to see on Thursday nights would be Impact Wrestling or something like that would make more sense. But like everything that they've done over the, you know, their entire existence, it's one of those things where you just sit back and go, okay, and then see if the rating changes from a 1.1 every Thursday, and it usually doesn't, and then just go, okay, and then you wait for the next thing to happen.
Did you know that if you go to the Impact Wrestling Wikipedia page, there is a link to another page that goes over the total nonstop action wrestling authority figures?
I have to go to that right now.
This fills up an entire page on my monitor. We've got directors of authority: Eric Watts, Don Callis, Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, Dusty Rhodes. Championship committee: Dusty Rhodes, Harley Race, Terry Funk, Roddy Piper, Larry Zbysko. Management director: Jim Cornette, Matt Morgan, Tracy Brooks. Founder: Jeff Jarrett. President: Dixie Carter, Mick Foley, Hulk Hogan. Executive producer: Eric Bischoff, and network consultant: Mick Foley. Yes! Those are your list of authority figures in TNA, everybody, for a program that never appears to have any authority from anybody whatsoever. All right, let's look at the show here. I believe it is Sacrifice, is that correct?
It is.
Sacrifice 2011, and we got a number of matches here, including one that may not take place. You were talking about the China appearance on Impact this past Thursday night and here on the pay-per-view. And she is scheduled to work a mixed tag match. It is supposed to be China teaming up with Kurt Angle to face Karen Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett. And Karen is apparently doing an angle on her Facebook where she is suggesting that she fell down at home and got hurt and now may not wrestle on the show. I don't know at this moment what is going on. Presumably this is an angle. She may have really fallen down and gotten hurt. I don't know. If it is an angle, it's funny, because if she does not end up wrestling on the show, that would indicate that at some point they realized, huh, maybe Karen Angle in the ring with China is a bad idea. But they thought of this after they put the match together, which I guess wouldn't really be a surprise in this company. But I guess we'll see what happens there. But not, you know, if they keep the women out of it, it would probably be a pretty damn good match, because Jared and Kurt are working on the road and getting rave reviews for their singles matches. But you're not going to bring in China and not put her in the ring. So I would presume that she's going to do a fair amount of working. And unless she's going to do a fair amount of working with Jeff Jarrett, I don't even know how good that would be in 2011. This could be a disastrous match.
Maybe since Russo likes to take it back to 97 so much, maybe Nicole Bass can come out and substitute and be Jarrett's partner.
I thought they were going to try and get Jim Ross. He was influential in that entire thing. It could be Jeff Jarrett and Jim Ross against Kurt Angle in China.
No matter what can happen to Jim Ross as far as being embarrassed every single time he goes back to WWE, no matter how many times that happens, it still would have to be better than going into a scenario like that with TNA. But, you know, I thought somehow this feud would continue at the last pay-per-view, and it ended up doing so. But it's getting to the point now where it's like, okay, now we've got, you know, psychotic Kurt, and, you know, they have the just him going after Karen so much, and the horse dung and all that sort of stuff. It's like, how are you supposed to really at this point feel that much sympathy now that he's bringing in China? And obviously Karen is a bitch and annoying and all that sort of stuff. And you know, obviously people love to boo her, but it's like, okay, where do you go from here? How do you get out of this thing at this point too? Which I don't know if they have the answer to. It has been some of the most entertaining stuff that's been on TNA in a while to me. I mean, Angle's really good. Jeff Jarrett has been great. Karen's been really, really good in what she's been doing. But At some point, it's got to stop. At some point, this has got to go somewhere else, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it tonight, but I guess we'll see.
I don't think they think that far in advance about how are we going to get out of this, where this is going to go, you know? I mean, they do some long-term planning, but, I mean, think about that. We got the Mexican-America team. It is Hernandez and El Anarquia facing Ink Ink in a tag team match. Ink Ink's a pretty good tag team. Hernandez and Anarquia. Hernandez is all right. Haven't seen a lot of Anarquia, but could be a decent match, probably just a throwaway match on the show. And I don't even know if there are any stipulations here, like number one contender or anything like that. So I think it's just a match.
I think it is, too, and I would assume the Mexican-Americans actually win this, although they've calmed down on, like, Jesse Neal, and, well, like, Shannon Moore looked like he was going to tease heel, and maybe because they haven't talked about it for a minute and they forgot, maybe they think everyone else has forgotten, they'll do some sort of wackiness, because, again, when you get a match with no stipulations in TNA, it just cannot end just a regular match. It's impossible.
Dreamer and AJ Styles in a singles match. Apparently, they had a match, I don't know, 5-6 months ago. I actually didn't even see that pay-per-view. But Dave Sott, I think he gave it 3.25 stars. And Vinny Sott, I think he gave it 2.25 stars. So, just, I guess, various different opinions on the quality of the match. All I've got to say is, I'm sure there are a dozen guys on this roster that would have a better match with AJ Styles than Tommy Dreamer. So, this is a waste of AJ Styles. The match may be all right, but I'm not into this feud at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'll assume Styles wins, which leads into something else. But, yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. It's like, and again, no offense to Tommy Dreamer. If somebody's still going to pay him, you know, I take it too. But it's not a good use of AJ Styles. He's going to kill himself in this match, and where's it going to go? And what's the, you know, the next feud he goes into, you know, again, is he going to take anything away from it? A waste of AJ Styles.
We'll talk about more matches when we come back from the break. There are a number of them here. Fewer stipulations than usual on a TNA show. Maybe this is part of the rebranding. The tagline is now Wrestling Matters. Again. That is the new tagline for Impact Wrestling. Supposedly there's going to be a lot more wrestling and a lot less non-wrestling, I guess. Talk about this more when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next hour and a half, as we are every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92. We're talking the TNA pay-per-view. Mike, did you know that wrestling matters again?
Well, they're making an impact, I guess.
They are making an impact. With the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view tonight, we're running down the card here on the program.
Of course, you know what? And I know. There's somebody that really loves TNA, somebody out there who's one of the 1.1 that watches TV every week that's going to give them a chance on this. But and if they did go back to more wrestling, like we would say all the time, that made sense, then you could actually, you know, get people to probably spend more money on it and get people more interested again, because obviously what they do draws a certain amount of people and that's it. But until they actually do make a change, it is hard not to make fun of this whole thing that, you know, there's going to be more wrestling. I mean, they prodded Mick Foley out there, and they really needed Mick there, and he goes and makes the announcement. This whole Impact Wrestling thing, which, yeah, just yeah, they don't have stipulations listed, and that's great, and that would be a nice first step. But if nothing else on that TV show matters, and we'll find out when the tapings happen in the next couple days here, if nothing's actually going to happen, then what does it matter?
Well, the thing with the Foley announcement was they butchered it all to hell. You know, when I read the spoilers about what Foley said, I fully understood what they were doing. But when I watched it on TV, there was so much seemingly cut out of it and so much sort of hit on and then cut away from that when the segment was over, I was like, I was confused. And then they came back and Mike Tenay had to explain it to everybody. And it was like, why didn't you just, I mean, this is like your big angle of the year so far. You know, you've been building this up for months and months, and apparently you booked so much for the show that you had to drastically cut the Mick Foley interview explaining, you know, making sense of this angle that you've been doing for months. My mind was boggled. You know, it wasn't even like they, I mean, I understand them cutting a match because they're not into wrestling, but the idea that they'd cut a segment was mind-boggling to me. So they did a very, very poor job explaining to fans the difference.
Not just a segment, a pivotal segment, the pivotal segment.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, here's the deal. Yes, the segment kind of sucked. It would have been a lot better had Foley had time to really, you know, slowly explain everything so that anybody who tuned in for the first time or watched TNA here and there. And, you know, they did have more viewers than usual. People were interested in finding out where this went. And they shot the whole angle and it aired in like 3 minutes. You know, all this time spent on this and the culmination is 3 minutes at the top of the hour. Regardless, even if Foley had spent 20 minutes explaining all of this and all of these big changes that are upcoming, TNA is the boy that cried wolf. I cannot tell you how many times it has been, you know, changes here, changes coming, a new beginning, everything changes today, this is a new start. How many times have we heard that? Like, thousands. I mean, not even exaggerating here by saying a thousand. It has been at least a dozen times in, like, the last 4 or 5 years. There's been a new beginning, a new change.
It's been said a thousand times on the TV.
Yeah. And at this point, it's like, okay, great. Well, why don't we wait and we'll see if there actually is any change. Because the last dozen times you promised big changes, everything has been exactly the same. Maybe there's a new face here and there. Maybe there's a new whatever, a new time slot for a while. And you're back to the old time slot. You know, maybe there's a new guy in charge. Maybe there's a new this. Maybe there's a new that. It's still the exact same show every week. They get the exact same rating, and they do the exact same numbers on pay-per-view, although even those are falling. So maybe Impact Wrestling is going to turn the company around. But quite frankly, the chances are everything is going to be exactly the same in a month. So I'm not even going to bother getting excited or getting all too angry about all of these supposed changes. I'm just going to wait and see, because I wait and see every time, and usually it would be pointless of me to get excited or to get mad or anything like that, because it's just going to be the same thing again.
And they just, Spike's happy with the number, they stay on there, but, you know, obviously it's not a money-making venture, which means at some point, Spike doesn't want him anymore. Odds are nobody else is going to want him either. And then what? Then it goes away. And that's the most frustrating part, when you just sit back and just, because most people at this point have grown to just have an apathy for TNA for whatever reason, you know, and there's a million and one of them that you may have, you know, not even bothered with TNA or, you know, like most people, given it multiple chances and then finally said, screw it, you know, prove it to us. And, you know, again, this is, while they still have people watching, this would be a good time for them to prove it, but they probably won't.
Robbie E. and Brian Kendrick is on the show tonight.
Here's a good example.
Probably a good match, not a great match. It's just a match.
A match. A match that, you know, would be fine on Impact. This would be the match that, you know, at 7:45, it would be a good idea to fire up the crowd with this or something like that. Have it on the pre-show, but, you know, what's been going on Impact where we've got to pay to see Robbie E. and Brian Kendrick get down?
I don't even know why this match is taking place, to be honest with you. And I watch all the shows. So, we've got Mickie James and Madison Rayne for the Knockouts Championship. If Mickie wins, then Tara's contract with Madison is nullified, and Tara is free to work on Impact Wrestling. What's interesting about this is classic TNA. So Mickie James is the one who offered up the stipulation. She said, Madison, if we have this match, I'll put the title on the line, but you need to put something on the line, since I put my hair on the line for our last match that went 30 seconds. If I win, then Tara is free. Which begs the question, why in God's name would Mickie James make this stipulation? Since the first two times on pay-per-view that Madison Rayne and Mickie James wrestled, Mickie James lost because Tara interfered. So why she's trying to free this girl, why she sees this girl as a friend and a babyface, that makes, like, beyond no sense. But that's a stipulation for tonight, and hopefully they have a better match than they did last time. It depends on how healed Mickie James is. But shoulder separations, depending on the severity, they can heal fairly quickly, so we'll see how it goes.
I got nothing.
I got something for you.
All right.
Why did they do the match on the last pay-per-view if Mickie was hurt? I asked this question before. Like, if they knew she was hurt, why did they just not wait an extra month? Is it so important that they had to have that stipulation this month? What long-term storyline would have been interrupted by just bumping everything back a month? Why couldn't they do Mickie James and Madison Rayne for the title here? Mickie wins the title, like they did last month, in a match that goes more than 30 seconds. Because, I mean, how long do they build up that Mickie was fighting for the title? For months and months and months. And in the final match, instead of like an epic battle and she wins the championship, she just grabs it in 30 seconds and is hurt. So
they can't make a change for her. Saw that with when Jeff Hardy went in there with Sting. Because they can't change on the fly. And even though it wasn't that big of a deal, they had it planned out where all you had to do was layer out before the pay-per-view. If you get the same amount of people watching every time out, and you have Robbie Eve versus Brian Kendrick matches, I don't think anybody was going out of their way to pay for that match specifically is the reason they bought the pay-per-view, or that they would turn them off for the next one. You might as well just have her been laid out beforehand. So when you got to this match, it actually would have meant a little bit more.
You know,
it would have been as good as possible.
I never thought about this till right now, but I just had this revelation. Because it's 2011 right now, and a lot of wrestling fans are also MMA fans. And as we're going to be talking about later on this show, Brock has pulled out of Vancouver, and, you know, we've got the Frankie Edgar Gray Maynard fight being off due to injuries and that sort of thing. Brock has got diverticulitis again. But anyway, you know, I think fans understand when people are hurt nowadays. You know, if Mickie James, if you shoot a bunch of angles for Mickie James and Madison Rayne, and again, granted, you know, no one's buying the pay-per-view for this match. You know, I can count on one hand the number of people that literally are going to go, you know, if Mickie James and Madison Rayne were not on this show, I wouldn't buy it. But because they're going to be wrestling, I'm going to buy this show. The number is almost none. You know, the people that buy this show, they're just TNA fans. They want more TNA wrestling on a Sunday night. So anyway, if you shot some angles to build up for this match, and prior to the match taking place, Mickie James gets hurt. To me, in 2011... if you shoot an angle on the pay-per-view that shows her laid out backstage and then people don't get the match, that to me kind of feels like false advertising bullshit. Even if she's really hurt, because you've promised a match and then you shoot an angle so that the match doesn't take place. Whereas if, for example, on the last Impact before the show, if you just come on TV and have Mike Tenay, you know, just do a cut-in or something like that, or voiceover something, and have Mike Tenay say, we apologize to everybody, but Mickie James, at a house show match or whatever, at a TNA or an Impact Wrestling live event, suffered a badly separated shoulder, and she's not going to be able to work on Sunday. I think people would be fine with that. I think people nowadays are used to people having to pull out of events because they get hurt. It's not a big deal. Especially Mickie James and Madison Rayne. Yes, Brock pulling out of Vancouver is going to cause a lot of people to not buy that pay-per-view, okay? But stuff happens, all right? Do the same thing with an undercard match in TNA. It doesn't matter. They could have come on last month and said she's hurt, she can't do this match, but you know what? Next month, hopefully she's going to be back in action, we'll see this match. It's all you have to do. Instead, if there was anybody that paid for this match, they got 30 seconds, match is over. That, to me, is almost even worse than not giving them a match in the first place and just admitting on TV the match won't take place and you'll get it next month.
Or have her get laid out before the show, do an angle. Malia Hosaka is in your neck of the woods this weekend. Have her go in, actually make her Madison Rayne look good. Madison beats her up, you know, makes fun of something where Mickie has to chase her off, or at least you have her on the show.
Yeah. I mean, you can write her off on the last show before the pay-per-view and then say so-and-so is going to be taking her place. Is Malia Hosaka going to be able to win the title? Something like that. You know, do anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The thing that gets me is, why did you have to do that match last month? Why couldn't you put it off 1 month? Is there like a giant angle that's going to be taking place in June that's so important and it has to take place in June that you had to do this match last month? No, of course not. So I don't understand. I mean, I we'll talk about this after the break, but I felt that it was almost worse to do that match for 30 seconds when she was hurt than to not do it at all. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk more about this and more. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next hour and a half, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92. And, of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, including live running play-by-play of the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view tonight, always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is going to be doing the live play-by-play. We've got tons of news. We've got radio shows. If you scroll down on the right-hand side of the page at WrestlingObserver.com, there are 5 free radio shows right now. If you love this show and you only get a chance to hear it one time per week, you are missing out. If you love this show, think about this. 15 to 20 radio shows every single week. Downloaded to your iPod through iTunes. You can just download them straight off the site as MP3s. 2 to 3 shows every single day. If you go to work and you're bored, you've got a long commute, if you work out at the gym and you want wrestling MMA audio, this is the place for you, WrestlingObserver.com. We have a subscription area. It is $10.99 a month. That's it. $10.99 a month. It gets you every single brand new show we do, 15 to 20 every single month. Plus, if you sign up, not only do you get all of the new shows, but let's say that there was a show last week that you really wished you could have heard and you signed up too late. You didn't sign up too late, because every show that we have ever done in the history of this website, thousands of shows, tens of thousands of hours of audio, some of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling, including, since we're talking about TNA, Mick Foley has been on the show a couple of weeks ago, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, Bryan Danielson, Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho, the list goes on and on. These shows are all available right now in our archives. You can never go through all of these archives. You would have to listen to shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for years to hear everything. But it is all available for you. It's only $10.99 a month. If you love this show and you want more, I guarantee, if you love this show, I guarantee you will not be sad if you sign up for a subscription. And if you don't like it, cancel after a month. In fact, you don't have to cancel. You can pay month to month. Do a one-time fee. If you don't like it, you never sign up again. We never bill you again. You can, however, sign up for recurring, and we'll just bill you every month, and you don't ever have to worry about it. It comes right out of your PayPal. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of different payment options, a lot of different payment terms. They're very easy. They're very simple. Just check it out. If you like what you hear, we'll give you a lot more. Now, Mike, the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view, we're running down the lineup here. Let's finish up. We got more matches to talk about. There are 9 matches on this show. So, if they're correct in the idea that we're going to get more wrestling with Impact Wrestling, could be a lot of good wrestling on this show. Beer Money against Immortal. Well, I spoke too soon. Beer Money is great. Robert Roode and James Storm. They are, however, facing Matt Hardy and Braden Walker of ECW fame, the former Chris Harris. I don't know about this match here, Mike.
Poor Chris Harris. You know, everybody thought he was, you know, there were a lot of people, I think the majority thought he was truly the star of that team, and if somebody was going to move on and do something, it was going to be him. And then he goes up with, follows Ricky Ortiz, follows all those other guys that went up to ECW and became Braden Walker and looked like a deer in headlights and looked a little big. And then he just disappears. And then bringing him back in TNA, this is going to be a big deal. And no offense to Chris Harris or anything like that, but, Matt Hardy and Chris Harris, fantastic. The one plus of this match is, I mean, I don't think either one of those guys is, you know, going to have that bad of an off night where they can't work together as a tag team. I actually have some relative high hopes for this match just because of the fact that all four of these guys are great tag team wrestlers or have been at one time or another, and I can see Hardy and Harris. I'll be surprised, and it would be very disappointing if they can't keep up the pace and this match ends up not being at least good.
You know what's amazing when looking at this card? I watched Impact on Thursday, and if I recall correctly, which I don't always do on this show, could have sworn it was Abyss versus Crimson versus Samoa Joe on Impact, and Abyss hit Samoa Joe with the Black Hole Slam, and Crimson stole the pin to finish to every three-way match ever. And then Joe was really mad, and then Abyss ran in and beat up Crimson. And I did not know that until just now, but that is leading to Abyss versus Crimson in a singles match on this show.
And no Joe to be found.
No, no Joe on the entire card. I can't make this up.
You know what?
You didn't even have to shoot an angle for this match. All you had to do was air all of those promos of Crimson putting a board covered in nails in Abyss's back and say, now we're going to get the big grudge match. Which is actually kind of strange because Abyss in that situation would come off as a babyface. He's supposed to be a heel. Anyway, this whole thing's a disaster. But yes, Abyss versus Crimson tonight. I don't have high hopes for this battle.
Do you remember when Abyss was given Hulk Hogan's ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember when he was getting slapped around in a weird homoerotic way at a doctor's office by Stevie Richards?
Yeah.
Remember when he was the big guy protecting baby bear Alex Shelley in Goldilocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad because, you know, that was one TNA original creation, or I guess it was an extension of his Puerto Rican character, that, you know, they had Abyss. And much like Kane, Kane's a different story now because I think at this point WWE, I mean, it is a cartoon. And really, what else at this point do you do with Kane, for Christ's sakes? So it's a little bit of a different story. But, you know, they still had something in Abyss, and people still somehow, for some reason, there are enough people that latch on to him, but it's just over and over and over again with him where, again, nothing against Crimson here, but just Abyss has been so shot as far as seeing someone I want to see on my TV that I just, and it's too bad, too, because he's another guy who just murders himself. He's killing himself. And what's it going to actually end up at the end with him? And it's too bad, too, because he's, you know, another one whose character deserved better. So basically, long story short, I don't care much about this match, but I would assume Crimson would actually go over in this, although with Joe not being around, who knows where he might pop up.
Do you remember when Max and Jeremy Buck were setting up a feud?
Barely, but yes, I do.
Well, they're a team again. So don't worry about that. Never happened. Max Buck, however, tonight is going to be facing Kazarian for the X title. Two SoCal guys, PWG guys. Should be a good match. May end up being, like, one of the best matches on the show.
Yeah.
What a segue I gave you right there. Just an awkward pause.
I don't know. Because I was trying to figure a way to not be all Les Thatcher-like and say, you know,
a lot of flippy dudes coming tonight.
It is probably going to be a fun kind of, you know, exciting match. I don't have any problem with it. It's just, it's one of those, like, kind of throwaway, like, there's nothing that led up to really that grasped me into, all right, we get Max Buck competing for the X Division Championship against Kazarian. I mean, it just doesn't do anything for me, but it is at least going to be fun and exciting and, you know, yes, a lot of flippy doos all over the place, so I can at least handle that, although Max Buck, thinking of Max Buck as X-Division champion, just, I don't know.
You know, the reason I gave you that awkward pause was because for the life of me, after I made the statement about them having a match night, I could not think of a single thing to say about this match. I mean, nothing. I had nothing.
Again, not a great use of Kazarian. No offense to Max Buck or anything. And again, you know, if you're just going to have Kazarian go on a IWGP type of junior title reign where he, you know, he goes and defeats, you know, lots of guys for a long time, that would be one thing. But it's just like, all right, we got Kazarian and Max Buck. Go. All right.
Yeah. And then the main event, Sting and Rob Van Dam for the title. And don't have high hopes.
At what point does Kennedy come out?
I don't have high hopes. Kennedy, yeah, the go-home show for this pay-per-view was a battle royal to determine who gets the championship match at the next pay-per-view. No one's buying this show. How many times have I said that in the last year about a pay-per-view? But this one, I'm not kidding. No one's buying this show, and it's amazing because you would think that you would try to build up your big pay-per-view. I realize that, like, TNA's deal right now is they realize nobody buys their pay-per-views. So instead of trying to get people to buy their pay-per-views, their deal now is they have 12 pay-per-views, but the big pay-per-view is like every other month. So this is like a B pay-per-view for TNA, which, you know, you're looking at maybe 12,000, maybe 10,000 buys, maybe even 8,000. You know, this is a B show to build up next month's A show. But to me, wouldn't you want to build up your A show for like the first show after you do your big network executive reveal? You know, they built up that TV show forever to build up the network rep coming out. It's Mick Foley. The show does a 1-3 rating. You get more people watching than normal. And then that is a go-home show for a B pay-per-view. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
No, and it's why, again, we're saying a whole lot of things about TNA that leads them to be in the exact position they're in, because we've been saying it over and over for how long? Yeah, it does not make any sense.
We spent way too much time talking about TNA. Let's just say that the show airs right after the show goes off the air. For those of you that are going to buy it, you know,
Good on you.
TNA says thank you. And for everybody else, Dave Meltzer live running play-by-play on the front page of the website. And then later on tonight, for those of you that are subscribers, we'll be doing a show after the event is over. Dave and I running down all the results, Vinny probably as well, all the results of the show, who won, angles heading to the next show, and that sort of thing. So there you go. Let's do some of the questions here. This person, Tim, says, given the poor state of TNA and the current WWE policy of not making new stars or writing compelling storylines, I don't think that's an official company policy, by the way. The negative effects of MMA on pro wrestling, where do you see the wrestling industry in 2 years' time? Where do you think UFC will be in 2 years? I could talk about this for a while. I'll just say very quickly, and then I'll let Mike go. I don't even do predictions anymore. It's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, the best you can do is predict what's not going to happen. Because whatever you predict, it's almost assuredly not going to happen. I mean, when I look back at the predictions that I made for 2011, they were all good predictions based on what was happening at the time. But the thing with history is, nothing ever happens the way that you expect it to happen. Sometimes a thing does, but in general, nothing ever does. You know, who was to know that Brock's diverticulitis was going to come back? I mean, going into 2010, it was looking like, okay, you know, it's probably going to be Brock against Dos Santos, or 2011, Brock versus Dos Santos, and if Brock wins, it's another Brock-Kane match, and both of those are going to do over 1 million buys, and Brock-Kane 2 could do like 1.2 million. Now, we have no Brock fight in June, we have no Brock-Kane fight, we've lost two huge buy rates, and the state of Brock, which Mike can talk about here in a moment, theoretically, he could go back to pro wrestling, and the biggest UFC draw, the absolute biggest UFC draw, going to WWE, even if he's only wrestling here or there, that could be a huge thing for wrestling. I'm not saying anything is going to happen. I'm not saying Brock is even going to go back. I'm just saying you never know what's going to happen, and it's impossible to predict. Things do not look good for wrestling. But one thing could happen and turn it all around. And the same with UFC. One guy could go down. One guy could die in the octagon, for example. You just never know what's going to happen. And the entire thing can be flipped upside down. Mike, 30 seconds. We'll talk about it more when we come back.
No, just the one thing I know, in 2 years, unless something tragic happens, there will still be a WWE and a Raw on Monday night.
Yep, that's a safe bet and probably a SmackDown on Fridays as well. No way to even predict where TNA is going to be in 2 years. I mean, if they stay steady at a 1-2, they'll probably be all right. But if that show drops, you know, if they get canceled, there's no more TNA. There's no more Impact Wrestling. It's done. I don't see UFC going out of business anytime soon. But, you know, a string of bad pay-per-views could really badly put a damper on their business because they don't have the ancillary businesses that WWE does. We'll talk more about this when we come back from the break and probably in the second hour as well. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We got a short segment here, but we'll be back with another full hour after the top of the hour news break. One email question here. Since ROH lost their TV deal, do you think we will see ROH wrestlers making appearances in TNA? That's from Wilkash. I shouldn't have even tried to say the name. Anyway, probably not. The ROH guys are under contract. ROH is actively searching for another TV deal. I don't know how close or far away they are, but I know they're looking. And they've got their internet pay-per-views coming up as well. And TNA is just there doing their thing, you know. And I would be surprised if a lot of the ROH guys went over there, or really any of them, actually. Chris Daniels has, obviously, but that's a funny situation because when Daniels went to TNA, there was an agreement with ROH that he could go there under a mask as Suicide, but not unmasked as Daniels. And of course, pretty much the first thing TNA did was they just took the mask off him. They just totally disregarded the agreement. So I don't know how that whole thing is going to plan out, but that was not cool. But anyway, that's my thoughts there. And Mike, any opinions?
To be honest, I think ROH is going to get TV again at some point, somehow, somewhere, that they do end up doing something. And with the iPay-per-views and everything, again, you know, if they let those guys go out there and go under a mask or do something like that, if you can get them enough money out of TNA for a once or twice thing, cool. But I mean, Ring of Honor, I think, is going to be, they're not going to be great, but they'll be, you know, solid enough doing the iPay-per-views. And again, I think they will get TV. Hopefully it's, you know, sooner rather than later, because some of the warmth that they got over the last couple of years here is going to start wearing away if people have no visibility whatsoever.
I do miss the television show. It did really help me keep up with the product, and it helped them sell their pay-per-views. And even if they had, I don't know what they could do, but they need something where, even if it's just the internet fans, there has to be some access to ROH on a weekly basis to keep the storylines and such in people's minds. So hopefully they get something soon, but haven't really heard a lot in that direction other than working on it. So I guess we shall see. Head to the top of the hour break. We'll be back in about 7 minutes. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. Show airs every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92. And Mike, the New Japan Tour of America, how's it going so far?
Yeah, it looks to be going pretty good. You know, obviously not sure as far as attendance goes. Exactly what it is. I know apparently, you know, gates were a little bit slow. If you look at the Japanese websites, of course, it's, you know, people were literally hanging from the rafters. So we're going to have to see what it is after the 3 days are done. But they ran Rahway, New Jersey on Friday.
That did about 600, by the way. I think they claimed 1,800.
That's okay. Well, last night in New York, I see that they're claiming 2,500 Supernova vacancy at the New York Basketball City Arena. But what they've been doing on these shows, and they got this one tonight here in Philadelphia as well, but working alongside Jersey All Pro Wrestling, and they're going to crown a IWGP Intercontinental Champion, which the finals are shaping up to be Toru Yano, an MVP. So going to be, I would assume, MVP winning this thing here. Last night, Hiroshi Tanahashi defended the IWGP title, which I'm not sure if it was the first time on American soil. It probably wasn't, but it doesn't happen too often. But beat Charlie Haas in what I would assume was probably a really, really good match. So, you know, the Bernard and Anderson defended their IWGP tag titles last night. The junior heavyweight title with Devitt defeating Loki. So, you know, kind of a big deal. I mean, it's not like New Japan's going to come here often. I'm not sure if they're ever going to do it again. I mean, they've come to Hawaii and Los Angeles under different circumstances, but pretty cool. And if you're around Philadelphia tonight, it's probably something to check out.
Didn't the gimmick used to be that super no vacancy meant a legitimate sellout?
Well, things have kind of changed in Japan.
Well, that's too bad. That was always what you could kind of look at to find out if they were what the real attendance was. No vacancy was like, you know, well, we'll talk about that more after the break. But suffice to say, when we get the numbers, we'll talk about them here on the air. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92. And Mike, UFC has lost their biggest pay-per-view draw. Brock Lesnar is off the Vancouver show. Coming up on June 11th, he's going to be replaced by Shane Carwin in the fight with Junior Dos Santos. Brock's diverticulitis has come back. He is saying this is not the end of his career, but there are certainly rumblings from people that believe that this could be the end of his career. And what are your thoughts on this situation?
No, it's really too bad because it his age and just the level of MMA continuing to go. Who knows if he hurt himself worse if he would have just taken the time off originally and stayed off and not, came up with that, quote unquote miracle cure and maybe come back too early. It's diverticulitis, which, there are a lot of people that didn't know what it was until Brock Lesnar got it, and it's, I don't know if people realize how bad it actually is. My brother had a light case of it, and it really, he's in shape, younger guy in the military, and it, really slowed him up, and his, I guess, wasn't anywhere near what Brock's was, and him going back under the knife, it's too bad. Good for him if this is going to be it, that he was able to make money and save money in his life and all that sort of stuff. And it does open up the possibility that he could at least do a one-off wrestling match every once in a while if he wanted to that way down the line. But it's too bad if it would have to end this way. But if he is able to come back, I mean, if nothing else, you're at least going to be able to get one good match out of him or one good pay-per-view buy rate out of him if this isn't going to be it. And if he makes a full recovery, hey, that's just even better because it's going to take a lot of beatings on Brock, I think, before he loses his cachet as someone that people want to pay for.
Thing with Brock and when talking about whether or not he'll be able to continue and his age and that sort of thing, Jim Ross in his blog on the website kind of downplayed people that say, he's almost 34, almost 35, he's too old, and noting that Brock is a freak and people need to remember that he's a freak and the normal rules don't apply to him. Maybe that is the case, but here's the issue. Yes, Brock is a freak. Yes, Brock is kind of got freaky strength, and he's going to keep it for a long time. Yes, Brock is probably capable of training and getting his cardio up to a level that would be acceptable even in his mid to late 30s. The problem with age is that Brock needs to learn a new game. Brock has got to learn the stand-up game. What has held him back is getting in there with guys that are better strikers than he is. He almost was beaten by Shane Carwin. The reason he wasn't beaten was because he is a freak and because Shane Carwin completely gassed out. The reason that he lost to Cain Velasquez's stand-up, just Brock had no answer for it. The reason a lot of people thought he was going to lose to Junior Dos Santos, same thing, the stand-up game. Brock, you've got to teach an old dog new tricks in this situation. That is the issue here. If Brock takes a year off to handle his diverticulitis and he comes back and he's closing in on 35 years old, here's a 35-year-old man that, quite frankly, if he wants to hang with the top-level fighters, he needs to go to Thailand for a year and do nothing but straight kickboxing and stand-up. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Yes, as a wrestler, could Brock still hang with the top guys in UFC? Sure! Even taking a year off for diverticulitis, he could come back, he could get in shape, he could hang with the top guys in terms of his wrestling. But it's going to be another year off, and it's going to be another year later that he's going to have to catch up on the stand-up and catch up on the submission game. I don't know if and it is nothing against Brock. It's just, can he pick that game up at that age? I don't think so. The time to catch up on that game was in his early 30s, and every year older is not going to help him. And I'm not saying that Brock is like everybody else when they hit 35. He's not, but still, there's a lot of things he's going to have to learn, and depending on the severity of the diverticulitis and what he'll need to do to handle the situation, does he need to have surgery? Is he going to have part of his intestines cut out? What is he going to need to do for the next year? These are very valid questions, and it's not as simple as, is Brock like every other guy at 35? It's much more than that.
Yeah, and I don't think people are being sensationalistic about it, but, it's, for those that, he can come back, yeah, but the thing is, it's just not 2003 anymore, and it has nothing to do with Brock Lesnar or his recuperative powers as much as, again, like you were saying, the training he should be doing on his deficiencies, plus things are just going to keep moving forward with other guys and with other guys getting better and with new guys coming in the time that he's gone. I mean, it's not like the sport's going to revolutionize and change or the division's going to do that, but it's, you know, if things keep going the way they are and we look at how things have gone over the years, there's just going to be more and more competition, and people know kind of how they've got Brock figured out now, and it's just going to be one of those things. And it's, you know, again, it's a big story. In a year of lots of big stories, this is another big story because it also has direct financial impact on the UFC as far as, you know, and again, Lesnar Dos Santos is going to do, or Dos Santos and Carwin is going to do a great buy. It really is. I think it's going to be built up enough, and even though they're not talkers or anything like that, I think UFC is going to be able to sell the knockouts. No problem at all with that.
Carwin and Dos Santos.
Say again?
Carwin and Dos Santos.
Yeah, Carwin and Dos Santos. I mean, and again, they're not, you know, charismatic talking machines or anything like that, but they have the punch and they have the highlights and the film and all that stuff where it's going to do a good buy, but it's not going to do what Brock did. And again, this is just, here's a direct impact. What it also does too, and again, it's not a show that I've been watching, and I know you haven't either, and most people, and a lot of people haven't, because it got, you know, its lowest ratings of all time, but the Ultimate Fighter show, it certainly puts that show out there as kind of being lame duck at this point, knowing, unless they add some stuff in at the end, and I'm sure they probably will, that we're not going to be able to get Dos Santos and Lesnar as the payoff.
Yeah, it's the lowest rated season, I think, of Ultimate Fighter of all time, with Brock Lesnar coaching the show. I mean, nobody, it's another example of you know, trying to predict the future. I mean, no one in their right mind, like literally nobody in their right mind, when it was announced that Brock Lesnar was going to be coaching Ultimate Fighter, nobody thought the show will end up doing the lowest ratings of any season. I mean, nobody, because that would, something like that would be impossible. I mean, it wouldn't be impossible to predict, but nobody would even think of something like that happening. And it's interesting because, yes, it is now a lame duck season, but from listening to Dana, I mean, Dana admitted at the Toronto show that the season was not delivering like they would have wanted, and it was not the most exciting season, but he guaranteed it gets a lot better by the end. And that sounded great in Toronto. That's not so great now. You know, yeah, you're going to have a better season for those of you that are watching it, but if it gets better, that's going to mean that people are really going to want to see this fight, or people are going to get into the fight, or they're going to get into Brock, or whatever the case might be. Maybe Brock flips his lid and destroys some stuff. I don't know. But now you're not getting Brock. And I guess we'll see how they do with Dos Santos and Shane Carwin, but I don't see that right now as being a big fight. I mean, I can't even say. You know, we'll have to wait for the last couple of weeks of hype, but, you know, losing Lesnar on that show, based on this season of Ultimate Fighter, I don't even know if that would have broken a million buys. But without Brock, I mean, you're looking at several hundred thousand buys lost as a result of him not being on that show, in my opinion. And it's a big thing.
What show was that scheduled to be? 135? Was that what it was supposed to be? Or 136? I'm trying to see, because there's been so many. I guess it would be 136 in Houston, because this was the one they were also possibly, maybe, could it be that this one might end up being outside too, which also completely buries that one, although it was probably going to be inside anyway at the Toyota Center. It completely blows out any possibility of this thing being outside, I would assume.
Oh, are you talking for if Brock won and they did the Kane rematch?
Yes.
I see, okay. Well, you know, it depends on how people look. You know, maybe if Carwin goes in there and just blitzes Dos Santos, he knocks him out. You know, Dos Santos, much better boxer, but he doesn't hit nearly as hard as Carwin does. If Carwin does hit him and knocks him out, and it's like a one-minute just complete destruction, then maybe you can build up Carwin and Velasquez as the battle of the two killer giants and do a huge number. Just a lot of questions. It's very difficult to say. And, you know, if they have a match and Dos Santos just outclasses him, and then you've got the guy that outclassed Carwin against the guy that outclassed, you know, Brock. I don't know if two outclassers facing each other are really going to light the world on. Maybe it will. I don't know. But really doesn't feel like the personalities that would do a number that's going to, or at least get people interested enough to be able to run an outdoor event. We'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. Got a lot of email questions as well and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, talking MMA this segment here, or at least most of this segment. We mentioned in the last segment Brock Lesnar off the Vancouver show. We've also lost the main event of the show coming up in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas. Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard 3 is off, both guys injured. And the new main event of the show is going to be the former semi-main, Roy Nelson, Frank Mir, Jackson and Hamill on top. And what are you thinking about this show now that they've lost the main event? Does this cost them a single buy? Is it going to be a better show now? Are they going to do more buys since they'll be able to concentrate on the other two semi-mains? What do we have here?
I don't think it's going to cost them, you know, many noticeable buys. I mean, it's just, you look at the other guys that are on here, and you would go, when the final pay-per-view buys were counted anyway, you'd look at Edgar and Maynard's history and go, okay, who actually drew this thing anyway? You know, obviously it's a third fight. It's going to be a competitive fight. It's a title fight, and that fight's going to have fans. But I would have safely assumed that those fans that would be excited and paying to see Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard also have interest in Frank Mir and Roy Nelson. So, you know, again, it doesn't, in this era of UFC, Rampage and Hamill on top does not look like a pay-per-view worthy main event. And Mir Nelson, I think, is. I'm surprised that actually didn't get bumped to the top, but I can kind of understand it. At least considering the Rampage, you know, whatever you think about the decision over Machida, and he's at, you know, one certain stage of his career, and Hamill was promised a fight against a top 10 guy, and here it is. But I'm surprised Mir and Nelson is not actually the, you know, the bigger names on top of this main event. But all those people that were going to watch it with Edgar and Maynard, they're going to watch it without them, and it's not going to do a huge number or anything like that. But it's, you know, it's amazing that, you know, you can actually say at this point that it's kind of, in a way, a placeholder pay-per-view, but in a way, it actually really is. If you can actually have fighting B-show pay-per-views, this is it.
I'm going to be interested to see the hype special for the show, because I personally think there's as far as like building a hype special for a fight, I think there's far more potential in pushing Frank Mir and Roy Nelson than there would have been for Edgar Maynard. And I know
all four of these guys.
What was that?
All four of these guys fit nicely into that too, because Hamill can be, well, he can be kind of a prick, and you know, there's lots of things you can do around him, you know, from, you know, the well, he's deaf and he worked hard stories to him being a prick, and I mean, and everything in between with that and his successes. And Rampage is Rampage, you know, he can still talk. So yeah, I mean, all four of these guys, you know, it does give all four of them far more time when it comes to those countdown shows, which will be better.
Yeah, so I'm going to be interested in seeing this one. My buy rate prediction is around 350, and yep. The first Edgar Maynard did 270, and what are you looking at?
That's actually what I was thinking, too. I was actually thinking like 350 to 400, because I just think the baseline is going to be up a little bit. And I think Rampage has got some, again, Rampage has still got more than enough shine, and I think Mir and Nelson is going to, there may be people that, well, I think there's definitely going to be people on the fence about this if they spent money on St. Pierre and Shields, and, you know, and just with people's financial situation, I bet you Mir and Nelson are going to end up talking people into buying this pay-per-view.
Now, the Brock fight, if you had to make a prediction on the buy rate, what do you think it would have done prior to Brock pulling out, and what do you think it's going to do now that he has pulled out?
I think, I mean, Brock's good for $1 million.
Okay.
You know, I just think a, you know, a good, well, you know what, although, I mean, GSP Shields, even though there was more hype around it, you know, I was thinking 850 for that, and that's trending now close to $1 million. So I would actually say, you know, $1 million to 1.1. That's what I was thinking. Now, you know, you look at the show, all right, Dos Santos and Carlin, I mean, it's still going to be exciting, but, you know, I don't know how much of this card is actually set in stone. I mean, Florian, people like Kenny Florian. Is somebody want to pay for to see? I don't know. Maya Munoz is probably going to be pretty good, but again, doesn't set the world on fire. Donald Cerrone against Mac Danzig, more for probably diehard. So if it stays the way it is and they can't add anything else or throw in, like, I don't know, a WEC-styled fight at the last minute or something like that to at least guarantee you some action, I just, you know, this is probably going to be dipping down into, like, the probably the 550-600 range. but I think there's still enough oomph there with Dos Santos and Carlin if you do pound away at the fact that you basically somebody's going to get knocked out. And I think you can actually maybe get 550,000 people to jump on that, at least being a number one contenders match. And if you hype it up right, I think they might be able to do that.
So Brock on this show, 500,000 buys, essentially, you're saying, would be the difference with him being gone.
Oh, God, easy. I mean, easy. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of people will grow tired of Brock Lesnar if he does come back. And why is this guy still here? It's because as long as he's going to make money, you have to. And he's, you know, he's worth that much. I mean, there's not many that are that move the needle like that. GSP's one. For right now, Lesnar is most certainly another one.
What do you make of Bones Jones pulling out of the fight with Rashad, needing surgery on his hand, and then shortly thereafter, as it turns out, he doesn't need surgery on his hand, and he may be back in a few months. Right now, they're still going to do the original replacement fight with Rashad Evans. But, I mean, I suppose they could go back to Rashad and Bones. Just put that off. What are your thoughts on all of this? Because Rashad seems to think that the Bones is full of it.
Well, he's doing a great job. You know, John Jones being the, you know, the pushed along here as the all-American good guy and the young guy and the freak of nature, and he's just, you know, always got a positive Twitter quote and all this other stuff. I can see Rashad Evans is going to get under his skin and into his head really well here. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why he pulled out. And for me, I was actually going to go to that show. I'm still going to go to that show. But it's still, I mean, now it's Evans and Phil Davis, which, again, is a... I actually kind of like that. I like it a lot more than some other people. Again, I don't know if it's going to sell pay-per-views or anything like that. But, yeah, it's with all the jockeying and all the friendship stuff and the management stuff and now this, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't want to doubt John Jones or anything like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, no matter if it was legit, not legit, overblown, you know, it just one of those things that healed when it healed, it gave a lot of ammunition and even more ammunition to Rashad Evans.
I don't think that Bones is afraid to face Rashad, but this whole thing is really weird to me in the sense that, so I don't know, that was a big fight, Rashad and Jones, and to kill that fight you would think they would have to have a pretty good reason. Like, I don't understand why. Okay, so he thought he had to have surgery, but then it turned out that he didn't. So, I mean, was there not a second opinion before they killed this fight? That's my question. You know, shouldn't he have gone to whatever doctor that said, you know, you don't need surgery, just we're going to splint it for 6 weeks and you can start training again? Where was that guy before they killed this fight?
Maybe it was a miracle cure. Maybe Rashad Evans would probably say, well, they didn't want a second opinion. Wasn't that busted up to begin with? And, you know, or it wasn't that bad at all. And you just claim the doctor said that. Yeah, I know. I will say this, because of everything that's been going on and the fact that Jones has been fashioned the way he is. I mean, there were some people that were kind of busting his stones about the fact that, you know, he wasn't as comfortable as people said, and, you know, he wasn't as charismatic as people said in the lead up to his last fight. And I guess he was getting, you know, visibly shaken a little bit. And obviously, after the fight, all that sort of stuff kind of went away and everything. But he's still a young guy, and again, the lead-up to whenever he fights Rashad Evans, because of all this stuff, is going to be, it's going to be very interesting to see if he can handle that pressure and stand up to what he's going to have to stand up to if he is going to be the UFC's flag bearer for years to come.
Big story this week with UFC announcing they're going to be covering all of their fighters' accident insurance. If guys got hurt during a show, they'd have all of those injuries paid for. If you break your orbital bone during an event, you get it taken care of. But this will now cover guys who get injured in training. And originally, you know, if you're an undercard guy, if you were a main eventer like GSP, if you got hurt training, they'd pay for it. But if you're an undercard guy and, you know, as it is, you're only making $12,000, $17,000, $20,000 to show and $20,000 to win or whatever. And, you know, that's your income. And you're training for 12 weeks and you get hurt with 3 weeks left and you have to pull out. You know, all of your training expenses down the tube. You don't get your payoff. It's down the tube. And you've got to pay for the injury. Money down the tube. I mean, that is a big deal for these undercard fighters. And now you get hurt during during training. Yes, it sucks. You don't get to have your fight. You don't get your show and win bonus if you happen to win. But you're at least going to get the injury taken care of now, which is a real big deal for MMA fighters.
And the UFC just kind of threw a, whether they meant to or not, a kick in the gut to anybody that, any union out there that was looking at the UFC to try to say, hey, why don't you guys get together? Whether they meant to do it or not, it was actually a smart idea. And the fact that they are doing this stuff, again, you know, their payout scale is going to be where it is, but the fact that they are banking money and the fact they have done things right, the fact they should be doing this. They absolutely should, because it's been one of those things that guys have complained about, too. I mean, yeah, GSP stuff will get taken care of, but what about the guy that's actually working for a living, who's fighting low down on the card and is just coming up? I mean, you know, he's the guy who really needs it to be covered if he gets hurt during training, or a fight gets called off by the UFC and he gets moved and then he gets hurt in training. I mean, it's one of those things where it's just a great preemptive strike, and the UFC having symposiums like they did with guys managing their money and their taxes in the same way that the NFL does and that other places do is a very, very smart idea.
So this covers all the guys in UFC, all of the guys in Strikeforce, nearly 400 people under contract. As long as you're under contract to UFC, you're getting all of this stuff paid for. And
unless you're getting herpes. If you get herpes, you're on your own.
What are you talking about?
Well, diseases aren't covered.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was that caught me so completely off guard that I had no idea what you were talking about.
But no, yes. Dirty women, folks.
Well, if you get herpes and the thing on your face bursts, then they'll take care of it because that's an accident. Anyway, we're going to go to a break, everybody. How was that for a segue? Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show, Medical Observer Live, apparently, based on Mike Sempervivi's closing statements in the last segment there. No, Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, here for the next 20 minutes, pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Lots of stuff to talk about today. We've got some email questions to get into. And, of course, for the latest news and information and the ongoing play-by-play coverage of TNA starting immediately after this show goes off the air, WrestlingObserver.com is a place to go. Daily news updates, radio shows, and I mean a ton of radio shows, 15 to 20 brand new shows a week. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 in the archives, that's 6 years of shows, everybody. Tens of thousands of hours of audio. It's only $10.99 a month to sign up. $10.99. That's like a meal at the Mongolian Grill on the weekend. One time, you pay it, and you get full access to everything for an entire month. That means not only all of the new shows, and at 15 to 20 a week, you're looking at as many as 80 new radio shows every single week. And on top of that, we've got all of the archives dating back to 2005. Thousands and thousands of hours of audio if you've got a commute, if you like to listen to wrestling and MMA news at work. Basically, if you love this show and you only hear one show a week, you could be listening to as many as 20 every week. And that's not counting going into the archives. $10.99 a month, I can guarantee, if you love this show and you sign up, you will not regret it. So give it a shot, WrestlingObserver.com. We have free radio shows up there if you want to, well, obviously you know what you're going to get if you're listening to this show. But if you want more, want a sample of some of the other shows that are up there right now, WrestlingObserver.com, right-hand side of the page. Download them, check them out, sign up. Promise you, you will not regret it. Mike, a couple of other notes before we do some of the emails here. Tell us a little bit about superstars and some outrageousness.
Well, I don't know how it qualifies on the outrageous scale. I would think aesthetically it does. Tyson Kidd came out to wrestle Trent Barretta, and with him, Michael P.S. Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Michael P.S. Hayes, dressed with one, still has got the Crystal Gale ponytail, which goes down to his waist region, but was rocking a blue shirt, a bright, like, aquatic blue shirt, a pair of khakis, if I recall, a big old belt, too, if I remember correctly. But what really set it off was the turquoise, and I don't know if they were snakeskin or alligator skin, but the turquoise boots that he had on. And I will say this, the dynamic, because Michael Hayes, when you always picture Michael Hayes, you remember kind of Buddy Roberts standing next to him, he's a little bit smaller, or Jimmy Garvin was about his size, or Terry Gordy, who was much bigger. You see Michael Hayes standing there with Tyson Kidd, and he's much, much bigger than Tyson Kidd.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that he was out there was just the visual of him there, the thought of what is he doing there anyway, and he cuts a promo, which, again, it's another sign. And why they are not utilizing Florida to do this more, why they aren't using, in a way, Tough Enough, but not Tough Enough, but NXT, where you could have all of these great talkers that they have in this company, and Michael Hayes is one of them, or help with developmental or things like that. Why they're not utilizing these guys to do this more, I have no idea, but he's being Tyson's mouthpiece, and obviously Tyson needs one. So he's going to try to help him along, I guess, there, but I don't know if this is the return of managers, but I don't know exactly what this means, but obviously Michael Hayes has got a focus with Tyson Kidd and went out there, had his match, won, and there you go.
Well, they are discussing bringing back managers, so this could be the start of that. When you said
it's so incredibly stupid that they haven't. I mean, it's so simple. It always is mind-numbing.
You sent me a deal saying I needed to check this out to see what Hayes was wearing, and I was actually gone, so I couldn't just leap at the opportunity. But it was not high on my priority list, and the only reason why is because I go to the Hall of Fame every year, and Michael Hayes is dressed like that all the time. Like, I have never seen Michael Hayes in an event where he was not dressed in the most outlandish manner possible. So when you told me about it, it was like, yep, that's Hayes. You know,
Deion Sanders is jealous of Michael Hayes' suits, apparently.
You know, the other thing with when you mentioned guys and how big he was compared to Tyson Kidd, I've mentioned this before. You know, people don't realize how big the guys in, like, the 80s really were, you know, because we've had the 90s and we've had, you know, the indies and the ROH and this generation of guys. You know, you got a lot of smaller guys getting into the business thanks to Ray and the Cruiserweights and Eddie and, you know, guys like that. And they were big dudes. I mean, there was an indie show that I worked on about 3 years ago down in Idaho, I believe. And Mick Foley was there, and I met Mick Foley, you know, in person. Gigantic, like, huge. I mean, I could not believe the size of this human being. You know, not where, you know, you got a friend who's fat, or I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, he was a giant human being. Like, just a big human. And I went down to Cauliflower Alley. For those of you that are on my Facebook, which is facebook.com/Brian Alvarez. There's also an official Wrestling Observer Live Facebook, by the way, which if you go to Facebook and you type in Wrestling Observer Live, it'll be under Wrestling Observer Live Official. We've got 912 fans. We'd like about 10 times that many, so go up there and click like. And we got a lot of stuff up there, so check out the Facebook page for this show. But anyway, if you go to my Facebook, facebook.com/Brian Alvarez, there is a picture of me and the Honky Tonk Man from Cauliflower Alley. And for those of you that remember the visual, you know, back in the day of Vince McMahon interviewing Andre the Giant, and they, like, put Andre the Giant on a box so that he looks even bigger than he actually is next to Vince McMahon. And Vince is, like, looking, you know, straight up in the air at this guy. That is me and the Honky Tonk Man. You know, the Honky Tonk Man. Everybody remembers, like, when he wrestled Warrior and how big Warrior was, and nobody thinks of Honky as this giant. But good God, standing next to the Honky Tonk Man, he was like Andre the Giant to my Vince McMahon. It was astounding. But yeah, those guys back then were just so big. Even the guys that weren't known for being big were big. So the big guys were even bigger. But yeah, it was it was eye-opening the first time I met some of those guys.
This all is right. Going to just continue to open up jokes to you about being like 5'1", though.
I'm much taller than Rey Mysterio, but he would be much bigger and thicker than I am.
Well, you know who actually surprised me when I actually saw them in person? And I don't know, it never really sunk in. CM Punk and Chris Hero.
Oh, Hero
was
huge.
Deceptively, I didn't realize they were that big, and then you saw them, it was just like, you know, in WWE and everything, it's like they fit perfectly. I had no idea until seeing them up close that they were that big.
Actually, the funny thing about those two guys, Hero and Claudio, they look like they've they're WWE size guys when you see them in ROH, because they're in with guys who, I mean, when I go to ROH events, there are a couple of guys at ROH where I look at them and I go, I am actually bigger than that person, which is shocking to me. And quite frankly, they probably weigh more than I do, but because of body types and that sort of thing, I look at them and I think I'm bigger than that guy. But, you know, Hero and Claudio are just giant guys. But it was eye-opening to me, as I've mentioned, when I went to the ROH shows in Atlanta this year. You put those two guys in the ring with Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, who, again, you know, when you think of WWE, the big guys are like, you know, the Big Show and Kane. And guys like Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas were, I don't want to say they were normal sized guys. I mean, they were big, strong looking guys, but you know, they weren't Kane or anything like that. You put Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin in with Hero and Claudio, and they are much bigger. They are much bigger, thicker guys than Hero and Claudio. It's really, I mean, it's amazing when you actually look at these guys when they're in the ring together, the difference in size. And man, you put Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas in there with like your Eddie Edwards and guys like that. Or in fact, I saw that match, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards against the Kings of Wrestling. A drastic difference in size. I mean, big guys against guys that were really not all that big. And Davey's a guy who, he's short, but he looks like a huge guy in ROH. And it's really eye-opening when you see the size of these guys in real life.
Oh, God, yeah, perspective on size and athleticism. I mean, look at Brock Lesnar when he tried out for the Minnesota Vikings. And it's amazing how far he went considering the lack of experience that he had. But it also shows, when you think of Brock Lesnar, I don't care who you are, if you're listening to this show, you're not saying a word to Brock Lesnar if he's in a bad mood. And he can rip you limb from limb. And there are guys in the NFL who, it's not like they could just pick him up and palm and slap him around, but they can be close to that, and they can run really fast. And it's absolutely amazing how big and how it goes on and how you look at guys physically. It is amazing.
Let's do some of the email questions here before we have to wrap this segment up. We've got quite a few of them. This person here is actually interesting. If Jarrett is saying that Karen Angle injured her ankle, well, Karen Jarrett now, does this mean that Jarrett has the giant Isis as his partner?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. See, I was thinking Nicole Bass. I guess I could have given them credit for trying to go back to a bad idea that they already had once that WWE already threw away when they knew that was going to be a bad idea.
Let me tell everybody something right here. This would be the dumbest idea of all time. I shouldn't say of all time. This would be the dumbest idea TNA did all day today. Isis is like, she was the girl that Vicky Guerrero came out with on NXT, the giant woman. She's like 7 feet tall. That's a freak. And if you debut her on this show, just as a mystery partner on a show that's going to do 10,000 buys and you didn't advertise in advance, you're just completely out of your mind. You're just a complete idiot. You know, I mean, if you want to do the match as promised with Jarrett and Karen against Angle and Chyna, and the guys do all the work, and then Chyna gets in and does one spot with Karen and pins her, and then Jarrett's like, on Thursday, I'm going to introduce my new partner for our next match of the next pay-per-view. And he brings out Isis, and she never wrestles to the pay-per-view, and you build up her and Chyna in the ring together. Fine. But don't make her a mystery partner. You're just completely out of your mind. You are complete idiots if you do this. That's all I'll say. Complete idiots.
So you want to go to the main page and go ahead and type it up in there now that she will be out there, because you know that's probably what's going to happen then.
Oh, my God.
That.
Oh, my God. I mean, how can you be so dumb?
Well, what do you expect?
I expect if you've got a giant woman versus Chyna, you at least build it up even for a day. Even if they built it up on the go-home show. You don't do a surprise on a pay-per-view nobody is buying.
But you know what?
They'll
tease it tonight and then say you're going to have to watch Impact for it, which would be more along the lines of something they do.
Well, at least they're trying to pop a rating out of it. You know, it's still stupid. But if we go into this just thinking that TNA is going to make dumb business decisions, then that's less dumb than debuting her in a match on pay-per-view with absolutely no build as a surprise on a show nobody's going to buy.
Hey, we'll see.
What are your Todd's odds that they actually use her tonight?
You know what? 75%, because something's got to give here. So I'll say yes, 75% chance that we're going to see her, and a 25% chance it's Eric Young in the dress.
All right, let's do one more here. Any truth to the rumor that Ric Flair claims he will be going after the title with Sting in August? Is this a program they're actually considering? Was it Flair throwing out an idea of what he wants to happen? To be fair, I'd still rather watch Flair than half of the Impact, or whatever it's called, roster. Best of luck getting through Sacrifice. That's from Nate. As far as I know, that was just Flair throwing out what he'd like to do in August. That was not a plan that they had. They could go that way. I think Flair versus Sting in 2011 would be actually probably better than a lot of Sting matches, to be honest with you.
I like being fair to Flair, and if they go run North Carolina again, do it.
You still have a Be Fair to Flair address after all these years, don't you?
Yeah, because it's too late to change it.
Wrestling Observer Live will be right back. Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very quickly, WWE doing a fine job in Mexico. Huge crowds, 20,000 people showing up. Obviously, Sin Cara's over huge. Alberto Del Rio over as a babyface, although they're still having him work heel and lose matches. Cena in the main event getting big pops as well. They're going to be taping Raw and SmackDown in Mexico for the first time on October 15th and 16th, and should be a pretty big deal. WWE is huge in Mexico at this point. Big ratings, popularity through the roof, especially with some of these guys like Mystico and Dos Caras Jr., that, of course, being Sin Cara and Alberto Del Rio now on the shows. So check out the front page of Observer.com, WrestlingObserver.com, of course, for all of the results of those shows in Mexico. And Mike, Noah in Germany, big matches. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, the biggest match of them all there, Takashi Sugiura. Actually breaks the record now of Kenta Kobashi and does so over Claudio Castagnoli, which, again, I'm biased towards both guys. I like them both a lot, but you know, Claudio, in a way, kind of coming home since he wrestled in WXW a decade ago. So Sugiura, Claudio, he goes over, and that had to have been a great match, and hopefully he makes it out. Also, Chris Hero and Kenta had what was supposed to be an epic match, and I can actually believe that, too. A couple go-to-sleeps ends up doing it for Kenta, so can't wait to actually see if this show surfaces up on DVD, because I'm buying it.
We are pretty much out of time, but as noted, in a couple of moments, TNA Sacrifice is going to be starting. Are you one of the 10,000 who is buying that show? Yes, Mike?
Don't sacrifice it, people. Don't sacrifice your money. That money didn't do anything to you to deserve that.
Oh. If you check it out, everybody, it's coming up here next. If you don't, if you're in the same boat as Mike here, and you're going to spend your money on that Mongolian grill I talked about earlier, Dave Meltzer live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave and I will also be up later on tonight with a brand new radio show talking all of the matches on the pay-per-view, and of course, lots of stuff coming up on Wrestling Observer as well. We'll be back next week with a brand new show, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sirius Satellite 92, Sports Byline USA. Thanks for listening. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.